you have put on my heart for this body, for this moment, and what you have done in my life and how you have displayed yourself to me and through me. And I thank you for that. I give you all the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. The name of this message is Embrace the Grace. That was the word. That is the word the Lord has given me for this year. Embrace grace. Not the just grace. Embrace grace. So I sat with him and he kind of opened the whole thing up for me, explaining to me, what does that really mean? Well, what is grace? Sometimes we need a definition so we can get it formed in our mind and in our hearts what exactly God is and has done for us. So I have three questions. What is it? Where is it? And how do we find it in the chaos? I learned a lot through this message, even more than I even understood about grace. But what he said to me, the first thing the Holy Spirit said is it's the exousia and the dunamis. And in my mind, the exousia was the practical, you know, presence of God in our everyday lives. But the Holy Spirit showed me that it was the other way around. The dunamis is the power to perform, the ability to work through the power and the anointing of God, not in our own strength, but in his strength. They both mean, exousia and dunamis mean power and authority. They both mean power and authority. Exousia is like energy. It's that power and authority that comes directly from the Holy Spirit. And the dunamis is the power to perform physically. So I learned something. I thought it was the other way around, but it doesn't matter. It's the power of God, and the power of God comes in the presence of God by the Spirit. So the power to work in this atmosphere, this is what grace is, fully aware of him, equipped, operating out of him, out of heaven, with his power at work in us and through us. There's no sickness in heaven, guys. There's no back problems. There's no pancreatic problems. There's no depression. There's no unemployment. In God's kingdom, we have jobs, we have situations, we have power and anointing for the tasks. We have the exousia and we have the dunamis. But we have to access that grace. We have to grab a hold of it and walk in it. And that's where the power comes. That's where the grace comes for us to do that, to walk in the grace. We have to receive his grace. So it's not, again, nothing that we can really do. It's only and all him. So the sooner that we get emptied, which Jonathan had shared last night, we can let him fill up that part of us. And it's a little scary, isn't it, to just let go of everything you are and what you believe and who and what, and just let him be in you. So where is grace? So what is it? It's the exousia and the dunamis, power and authority of God to move in this world with his anointing. Where is it? It's in his presence. It's in his presence. It's in his presence. But he's present everywhere. He's not present just here. He's present everywhere. Wherever you are, he's present. You have to find him. And where do we find him in the chaos? How do we find him in the chaos? That's how we find him. We look for him. Amen. Where are you? Where are you? Not why. Where are you and what? Amen. Father told me that his favorite time that he spends with me is when I'm sitting at his feet, worshiping him and soaking, where we have this intimate communion where he imparts himself to me and I let go of who I am and I just get filled up with, have a communion. When we have communion, we have to eat his flesh and drink his blood. Philip said that last night. I remember when the Lord gave me a revelation of that. And it's true. So many people fell away when Jesus said, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And that is what he was saying. You have to believe in me completely. I am the only way. And that's the only way we receive that grace. Our continuous spiritual conversion is our life in the Spirit. It's a continuous conversion. It doesn't just one day and you just continue. And I think we're just going to be like Enoch. We're just going to walk up. Whatever way it happens, I'm not afraid to die because I'm just going to continue learning and growing. Your body's going to croak and that's it. That's all right. I got a new body. We were talking. I've been listening to Mark Berkeley. He did this whole teaching on health. It's absolutely amazing. Really, really good. I got so much insight and information, which was a lot. But one of the things he kept saying and through all the teaching was, you know, I'm going to be 100. I'm going to live to, God gave us 100. Now, I remember him 70 in the scripture and then, you know, extra 10 for good measure if you got everything going. But he's saying 100. I said, well, I'll take that. So last night I said, I'm going to be lived to be 100. And I sent some of it to Elizabeth. She said, I'm going to be lived to be 100, healthy 100. See, what are you saying to your body? What are you saying to yourself? Oh, yeah. We do groan and moan, my husband and I, but we laugh. We laugh. And Lori said, oh, I'm going to live to be 999 years. I said, I don't know if I want it. I said, I imagine this old skeleton with no skin. 999, well, whatever. What'd you say? A healthy 999. So listen, this is our identity. Our identity is living and moving from the inner man, in the inner work, in the secret place. That's where we live from as we walk in his grace. We want to be a people that start the wave. We want to start the wave, and we want to ride it. And riding it sometimes means that you get smacked in the head with the other waves. Right? But then you got to say no and get up again. You know, when you get that churning off on the shore, I remember being a kid and trying to come up. Can I breathe after I got cremated by the wave? But I always got up pretty much. Always got up again. So we want to ride it all the way to the shore. We want to ride it all the way out to sea if that's, you know, wherever God is moving, we want to just join that wave and go. So we want to be liberty walkers, kingdom walkers. I was going through my notes over the last year and some of these things that God had spoken to me. I kind of reiterated and relived in my spirit. Spirit walker. God has given us all that pertains to life and godliness. That's what grace is. He giveth more grace, multiplies the grace. I was reading something, and I have to say I bore witness. When we're under pressure and stress and have to move anyway, sometimes it's nicer and it's a blessing because there's more grace on us than when things are all wonderful and you're just kind of floating along. Because he gives more grace. Whatever you need, but you do have to access it. Don't get thrown out or thrown under by the enemy's lies. And you need, the way that you recognize what the enemy is doing is look at God and what he's not doing. And then you recognize what the enemy is doing. So we need to embrace grace wherever we are, whatever situation we're in. 2 Peter 1:3, for his divine power has bestowed on us absolutely everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness through true and personal knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. We have to stay aligned with him in order to receive what he has. And we have to believe and walk in what he says about us. Not what other people say, or what the enemy says, or what we say about ourselves, because we are our worst enemies, aren't we? He has given us all-powerful sufficiency to meet every need. We can walk in a sovereignly graced kingdom, awakened to righteousness. That's where he wants us to be. That's where he wants us to walk, in a sovereignly graced kingdom, overcoming, conquering overcomers. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall supply all that you need according to his riches and glory." We need to root our identity in this kingdom, in the King's kingdom. Stay under his shadow, totally relying on that grace that he has already provided for you. So what is his grace? His grace is dunamis, exousia, power, energy, dynamite. I think about the pop, you know, when dynamite explodes. God's fire is like that. It's absolutely incredible. He has an amazing fire in his power. Where is grace? Grace is in his presence. So there is grace available at every moment. Grace is divine means of health and help and strength. The freely given unmerited, this is the dictionary, the freely given unmerited favor and love of God. I like that the dictionary has that in there. The influence or spirit, small spirit, but I made it a big spirit, of God. The influence or spirit of God operating in humans to regenerate or strengthen them, a virtue or an excellence of divine origin. The Christian graces, they're the gifts. Grace is charis in the Greek. So while we're living in this kingdom, we have this dual hope. We have the hope of eternity with Christ and the promises of grace on the earth to begin to reign in life. Romans 5:17 says we reign. We cannot reign if we're not partaking of his grace. We can't reign if we're feeling sad and depressed and want, you know, misunderstanding and bitter and resentful. All that. We can't reign because that's grace is not going to fall on that part of you. Grace falls on your spirit, man. And your soul comes into submission, and your body comes into submission of your spirit, man. It's that inner life, that inner man, that new man that God has created us. I'm a new creation. That's what his design was for us from the beginning. So we have to remember that his grace is sufficient for everything and every situation that we find ourselves in. 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is all you need. Oh. Because my power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, this is Paul. I will most happily boast about my weaknesses so that Messiah's power may rest on me. That's what Paul said. His strength replaces my weakness. So where do we find grace, and how do we find grace in the midst of chaos? Well, chaos is the opposite of peace. So what we need is this peace. Doesn't matter what it looks like or what it feels like outside. It matters that when you are connected with the Prince of Peace, Jehovah Shalom, you will be peaceful. And it will not matter. You will be able to rule. The scripture says rule in the midst of your enemies. You will be able to rule and reign no matter what's going on. Now, I believe even as Jesus calmed the storm, that he will calm that chaos. But in the midst of it, you need to believe that you have access to the grace for whatever is going on. The original peace bond, or the covenant that God made with us, has been restored. We have a covenant of peace with God since we received Jesus, so that in every circumstance we are reconciled to God, and that's where the peace comes from, that we're reconciled to God. Peace comes from reconciliation with God. He made peace through the blood of his cross, Colossians 1:20. So, we are to come boldly to the throne of grace. God's throne is a throne of grace. We need to come boldly to the throne of grace to find grace and help in time of need, Hebrews 4:16. When we approach the throne of grace, we need to recognize that we are coming with all that we are, weak, helpless, hopeless, fearful, doubtful, distraught, confused, unbelieving, all of that. We come to the throne of grace with all of that, and we receive all that he is. There's an exchange. It's not where you progressively become better. It's an exchange like that. Boom. Your spirit man comes into a progression where you get bigger and bigger in God, but it's not your soul. It's your spirit man. Your soul gets redeemed, and your spirit man kind of takes over so that you don't even move. And one wonderful way to embrace grace is to start getting irritated or whatever, and you're losing your peace. You know, Pastor Roy was talking about the dove on your shoulder. Why? What am I feeling right now? And what is the origin of it? It's a good way. So I want to, the I Am, we've been singing that song for a couple months, and because it's so powerful. So sometimes if you're not sure what's going on or where you're at, listen to that song. He is the I Am, and he is the I Am in your midst. That's what he says in the scripture. I am in your midst. I am in your midst. I'm dancing over you, shouting wildly, pouring my love over you because you're amazing and I love you. That's what God says to me. So how can you not be happy and filled with joy? So call on me and I will answer you. I'm just going to give you a little example of some leadership in the Old Testament who asked God for help in the midst of chaos. See, we need this word is true. This Kindle has the word of lots of Bibles in it. The Kindle is not true, but the Bibles in it are true. His word is true. It's true. If you don't believe it, well, then you need to say, Lord, shekabota, help my unbelief. I'm having a hard time here, Lord. Help me. And I guarantee you that when you wait in his presence, he will come and speak something amazing to you. Because he is amazing. I think his middle name is Encourage. Be strong and have good courage. Don't be afraid. So, Jeremiah 33:3, which one of the speakers last time, I had already written this message, so call on me and I will answer you. I think Rudy mentioned it the other last week too. Call on me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you don't know. So what does that mean? You don't know. You have to ask him. So I'm going to read this. This is the children of Israel were in the wilderness, and each 12 tribe, they had a tent and they had a leader. So they're wandering around. You think about how they were out in the wilderness. They were a little unhappy at times. But at one point, three of the tribes, the leaders, the main one was Korah, he had a bad attitude. And he was rebellious and complaining to the leadership. And he was saying, who made you ruler over us? Moses and Aaron, who are you? We all have the same anointing. We all hear from God. So who made you the head? So what did Moses and Aaron do? They went to God and they asked him, well, can you prove to these rebellious factions that we are chosen? Is there a word? Just what the Lord had given Pastor Roy and I when Pastor Gary decided to move upstate. Is there a word? Are we supposed to continue this work? Is this what you want us to do? And he made it very clear that yes. And we continued to go to him and ask him what we are to do. So there was a number of things that happened. I don't have enough time to go through all of that. I'm just going to share this last portion and also reiterate that they were in rebellion. They were in rebellion to the leadership. And they were complaining and arguing. When I used to train my kids, I used to use that scripture. Do everything without complaining and arguing. You want to be a light, that you may be a light in the world. No complaining. There's no complaining. There's no complaining in our streets. I wouldn't allow them to complain. They had to be thankful. I taught them to be grateful. And they would have to do it by faith first, right? All of us, sometimes. We say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't know what you're doing, but thank you. Because it is a sacrifice sometimes of thanksgiving and a sacrifice of praise. And we need to move in that too, because that opens the door for us to come into the kingdom. We enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So Moses and Aaron, there was two situations that happened, and then they went back again. Now Moses and Aaron didn't go, oh, you horrible people. They just went back to God. They went into the tent, into the sanctuary, the tent of the testimony, I think they called it, and they asked God what to do. So I'm going to read this portion of scripture from Numbers. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak. This is what God told them. Okay, this is God's answer. So if you go through the scriptures, it's very important that you recognize people are asking questions and God has given answers. People are asking questions and God has given answers. All through the Old Testament, there are examples for us, and all through the New Testament, people are asking God questions and he's answering. So this is what the Lord said. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the sons of Israel and take each of them a rod according to the houses of their fathers. And all their princes, 12 rods according to the houses of their fathers, and write on thou each man's name on his rod. And you shall write Aaron's name, because they were complaining about Aaron. And you shall write Aaron's name on the rod of Levi. For each head of family of their father shall have one rod. And they shall lay them up in the tabernacle of the testimony, before the testimony, which is the ark, where I will testify of myself unto you. So God said, you do this, this, and that. Now these were dead branches. And each dead branch had the name of one of the tribes. And the last tribe was the Levites, and Aaron was the spokesman for the Levites. And I will answer, this is what he said. And it shall come to pass regarding the man whom I shall choose, that his rod will blossom, and I will resolve the complaints of the sons of Israel with which they murmur against you. So this is what God said. He gave him an answer, very distinct answer. I will make the rod blossom. That is the one that is supposed to be in leadership. And I will resolve the complaints. So Moses spoke unto the sons of Israel, and all their princes gave him a rod, for each prince one according to their father's houses, each 12 rods, and the rod of Aaron was among the rods. And Moses laid the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of testimony, and it came to pass that on the next day Moses went into the tabernacle of the testimony, and behold, the rod of Aaron of the house of Levi had budded and blossomed, and brought forth open flowers and yielded almonds. Now this is a miracle. God is a God of miracles. This branch was dead. This rod was dead. And it brought forth open flowers and fruit. Then Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto all the sons of Israel, and they looked, and each one took up his rod. I think about them. They all picked up their old dead rod with their name in it. And then there was Moses had Aaron's rod, and Aaron took his rod, and it was blossomed in almonds. It was a pretty good indication that God wanted Moses and Aaron to remain where they were in leadership. They each took their rod, and the Lord said to Moses, return Aaron's rod before the testimony to be kept for a sign unto the rebellious sons, and thou shalt cause their complaints to cease from upon me, they not die. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him. So did he. So there is an act of obedience here. Hearing, listening, obeying, doing the action, following the Lord's leading, getting a very definite answer. So Aaron's rod, which was the symbol of authority, it was also a branch called the branch budded, and it was placed in the Ark of the Covenant. It was in that Ark for a while. I started to look at this a couple months ago, but there was one point where the rod wasn't in the Ark anymore. I don't remember why, but it was in there for a long time, so we'll just say, oh, it was in there, the Ark of the Covenant, and it remained there. Hebrews 9:4. So God's promises and his anointing was with Aaron and the sons of Levi as a tribe. So Jesus answered. Now in Isaiah 11 talks about Jesus being the branch. So then there shall come forth a rod out of Jesse, and a branch shall grow from his roots. And that's Jesus. So Jesus is the branch. So as I was sitting there studying about these branches and Aaron's budding, you know, and I was just sitting there musing, and the Holy Spirit said, well, Jesus is the branch. So if you're attached to the branch, then you can bear the Father's fruit. You can be the branch. Because, you know, if we find something in Scripture and we apply it to our lives, well, I'm going to be the branch. I'm going to be the branch I am a descendant of the Levites, because I am a psalmist. I am a worship leader, that's what I do. I'm a musician. But I come under the anointing as a Levite at different points when I'm thinking about it. I don't do it every week, but I do meditate in that reality because it's what I was created to do, and I know that. So it's God in me that worships God in heaven. So with Aaron, he was chosen, and Moses, he was chosen. We're chosen. We are chosen by God. We are all chosen by God to worship him. And we need to do that, and we need to find him. There they were in this midst of horrendous chaos, and God showed up. God answered the cry of Aaron and Moses' heart. He displayed his glory. He showed all the 12 tribes who was the leader. And guess what? They still murmured and complained against the leadership. But you know what? That's okay. Because God answered, and that's the main thing we have to look at. So we want to be the branch. We can be the branch. We can be Aaron's branch that buds, brings forth flower and fruit, right? That's the Father's desire for us. That's what he started to open up for me. John 15:8 says, here is my Father glorified, or clarified, or brought to a place where you can understand him, not just for us, but for those that we come in contact with. His desire is that we bear much fruit. So you shall be my disciples. And didn't Tori say that last night? She said, this is what God wants for us. And Jonathan also. I can walk in the grace of God in every moment. I can know that he has something better for me. If one door closes, another one will open. And we need to trust him because he does that. So embrace the grace. Embrace the cross. The power and the grace to overcome is at the cross. The cross is the sole hope and means for full reinstatement to relationship with God and rulership unto him to reign in life. Romans 5:17. So we need to gain access to his grace. And the way that we do that is through the blood of Jesus. We find Jesus. That's where we go in the chaos. We find Jesus. Where are you? Where are you, Jesus? The divine power and the grace and the peace in the midst of the chaos is in the name of Jesus. Oh, who said that? Lori, it's under the anointing of the grace and the peace and the mercy. You say, oh, God, have mercy. What am I going to do in this circumstance? He will have mercy and he will answer. He is Jehovah Shalom. So when we find him, we find peace because he's the Prince of Peace. He is Jehovah Shalom. And he has already given us all that we need. There's a song that Don Moen used to sing called, He Giveth More Grace. He gives more grace. Wherever you are, he gives more grace. Access the more, because it's there. So he's our peace, and he's broken down every wall. He's not only broken down the walls between Jews and Gentiles, and Pastor Roy shared this a couple weeks ago. He broke down all the walls that we put up around our hearts. See, this is a revelation of the scripture and a reality that you can take and inhale the word of God and come up with a revelation for your own heart and life. And that is the dunamis power of God. Because that will propel you in whatever circumstance to win, to overcome. Ephesians 2:14, for he himself is our peace. Believe me, you cannot look to any person to do this for you or to walk in this for you. You have to do it yourself. You have to, and I was appreciative of Jonathan saying that, because people think, oh, the pastor this, and no, no, you have to find Jesus in your own life. Ephesians 2:14, for he himself is our peace, who has broken down every wall. He broke it down in his flesh and made us all one. He took down every dividing wall of hostility. And sometimes our walls are hostile. We have to allow God to break down those walls by pouring his peace into us. His exousia, the power to overcome, lies within you. His dunamis, the power to overcome, lies within you. Colossians 1:27, Christ within, the hope of glory. So embrace grace, that's my word, and it's the word for RCF, and I'm going to speak because Pastor Roy heard a word very clearly, out of little I will make much. So here we are, little, he has promised to make much. And each one of you has a calling and an anointing. And as you embrace his grace and find his grace, which is in his presence, whatever place, you could be in a very pleasant place, you still have to find him. You can't be all hanging out, everything is all wonderful, and not walk with Jesus and not walk totally dependent on him. Actually, it was Jonathan. It just came out of my mouth. I was saying, it was like a month ago, I said, you know, I'm not usually overwhelmed because I'm so dependent on God. It's something I learned when I first got saved, because I was a complete mess and God had to just undo me and redo me. And he always continues to do that, doesn't ever stop. But I'm very dependent, I'm completely dependent on him for his grace. So I'm not easily overwhelmed because I'm already in that place. I'm broken. Broken, Lord. I can't do this. I don't know what's going on, but I'm walking in your grace because you're amazing and I'm not. But at that point, whatever it was that was going on at the time, I was overwhelmed. So I had to do the same thing that I did all the time, was go back to God and be totally dependent on him. And afterwards, when I got home, I was sitting with the Lord and he said to me, that is amazing that you said that and you came to that understanding that you are so dependent on me that you walk in my power all the time. You walk in my grace all the time. And you are not. I can remember being overwhelmed all the time. I can remember being confused. I can remember being afraid. And I memorized scriptures that had to do with everything that I was facing. So all of that is in my bank. You know, in my vault here, and it comes up when I need it. God is not the author of confusion. He's not the author of confusion. So when I get confused, oh, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. So, embrace grace. That's the end of this message. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And he's the one that has all the answers. So let's just pray. Lord, I thank you for this beautiful message that you have carved on my heart and given me the ability today to share what you gave me with your body of believers at RCF. I continue to stand in agreement with my husband that out of little you will make much. That you will, I heard again this morning my husband saying that, or this afternoon, that we're still trusting God to give us a building. So we have vision and hopes. Lord, Jeremiah 29:11, you have a hope and a future for us, and we are trusting you, Lord. We're trusting you. Each soul here each member of RCF and those that are not able to be here, I pray the anointing to hear clearer. I pray clarity of vision and purpose. I pray for a supernatural ability to believe and see you in every situation. Your word says to us that there's a voice behind us that says, this is the way, walk ye in it. And Lord, it is not in our human reasoning. It is not in our flesh. It is in your spirit, our new creation, moving in the kingdom dynamics of your kingdom. We believe that you are who you say you are. You are the Son of God. We awaken every morning to righteousness, and we go to sleep every night in a place of peace and rest, knowing that you are still at work, and that when we rise, we're just joining you in doing what is on your heart. So we thank you for the rest in the midst. I thank you for answered prayer. Thank you for answers prayer, answers to prayer, Lord. Again and again, you answer the cries of our heart. You are the God of all flesh, and there is nothing, nothing too difficult for you. So we just thank you. I just pray and anoint the king's blessing over your people. In Jesus' name, amen.